Troy and I wanted to bring back the podcast. Not pleased with Kent's decision, of course, to abolish the No Prep podcast, which is why I've named this the Mega Prep podcast in spite of Kent. So excited to be here with Troy. We were actually just discussing, so I'm actually living in Arizona, Tucson, for two more months. My wife and I decided to retire at 35 and 36 years old and spend the winter in Tucson. So, yeah.
Great decision.
Awesome so far, though. So, how you doing, Troy?
I'm good, man. Doing good. We were just talking, and I'm just ready for the school year to end. There's a few teachers, or is it just me and Les? Pat, too. Yeah, there's a few teachers on here who know teachers are probably looking forward to the end of the semester and break more than the students are, but things are pretty good here. I also want to just double what you said on Kent's decision being a poor one, but Kent's decisions tend to reverse themselves at times. So my smart money would be on the fact that the podcast will be returning at some point.
Nice. I put in text to him. He's more than welcome to actually host this. I think that might kind of get the juices flowing, but no. And I also hope that he brings back the trade offers that he offered me last year of Miles Sanders for David Montgomery. Kind of regretting those ones right now, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully long careers. So who knows? Yeah.
Hey, before I forget, cheers.
Oh yeah. And yeah. I'm drinking the only beer we had was a Flagstaff IPA. So, cause we got a bunch of Arizona beers and I drank all mine and Kristen drinks IPAs and I can't stand them. So this is going to be gross. Every time I take a sip, it's going to be like back when I used to try to drink beer in college.
Or Mad Dog 2020.
Well, Mad Dog's delicious. It just does bad things to you. This is actually pretty good. Lumberyard Brewing Company, Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah. Maybe on another podcast, we can tell everybody what happened to you after that Mad Dog 2020 when you wound up on somebody's porch.
That wasn't Mad. Hold on. I think that wasn't Mad Dog. That was the shots of Maker's Mark because, yeah.
Okay.
Good times. That was the only time I've ever had Maker's Mark. Stupid bomb. Oh, well, what you going to do? Yep. Yeah. So I guess we can kind of jump into it. We were talking earlier a little bit and wanted to discuss some trades that went down at the trade deadline. It was kind of madness there for a while. I was trying to get involved and couldn't, but a lot of huge trades that, you know, definitely some teams going for it, some teams selling and so forth. So, I mean, let's start with you. I mean, you probably brought the biggest name. Well, Zeke was a big name too. And of course you bring over Hopkins. I mean, we're talking a top three receiver, probably in most dynasty rankings, getting him over to your team for your boy, AB, who we heard nothing but great things from you about for 2 years. Thank God that's over with now for hearing you talk about it. But what did you think?
I was very, very happy to get AB off my hands. I'd been expecting big things from him. I think we saw obviously we all know what he's capable of and glimpses of what was going to be a great fit for him in New England, but he had to go and basically just ruin that, all by his own doing and his stupidity. But anyways,
did you start him as one game with New England this year? Or did you?
No, I didn't. I thought he was going to be on a pitch count, but I think he was. I think his snaps were very limited.
He just threw in the ball like every play that he played.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
So I did not start him that one game, but he was just like, you know, obviously eating up like $60 on my bench all season long. And, you know, I thought I'd get at least something out of him, but I was just glad to wash my hands of him. Who knows what will happen of him next year. And it'll be interesting to see what Justin does. You know, obviously it'd be smart to wait it out, see what happens with him. But there's definitely some potential landing spots for him. You know, somebody will take a shot on his talent alone. But anyways, I was ecstatic to get, Nuke on the squad, pair him up with,
Deshaun Watson. Are you trying to remember who's on your team?
Yeah. I just had a brain fart with all my leagues that I'm in right now, as I'm sure everyone is, you know, has that every once in a while, but me probably more than others. But
yeah, I'd be like me and be in one league and one league only, baby. That's how I roll.
I feel like every year I get another one. I'm up to like five or six right now and I'm just
good.
Yeah. But anyways, I was ecstatic to pair him up with Watson. Obviously, it's a little weird having him and Fuller on the team. But when I was kind of looking at it and thinking about making the trade, I had been excited about Watson and Fuller, well, the Texans schedule at the end of the season here with weeks 15 and 16. And, you know, I'm starting all three of them this week. So I'm hoping for some big play upside out of Fuller. But anyways, just really happy to have Hopkins. I know he's, you know, this is the last year of his deal, but definitely going to figure out some ways to make some salary space and keep him.
Oh yeah, for sure. You don't make a trade like that with, I imagine you'll try to maybe probably franchise him, but who knows, long ways to make decisions on that. So who knows? Cause Michael Thomas last year, you're going to have to, you might have to have a lot of cap space available to get him an RFA, especially with some of the people that have many first round picks that probably don't care if they get rid of one in order to get a player like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I obviously, how much, what does AJ Green go for? Like, what 80, was it like?
No, 80, 75, 80, whatever it was. Yeah. And then 80. For 80 or Thomas went for 85, AJ Green went for 80, whatever the heck it was. I'm acting like I don't know. I have it right in front of me. I should probably look. 78 AJ Green went for. So Bill was giving like a death stare to Martin, I think it was, just back and forth in the room. So, I mean, there were no good receivers in free agency, so they had to go big for a wasted season.
Yeah, interesting thing about the trade that I keep on thinking of, and I'm trying to pull up the actual details here, but apparently my computer's not cooperating. But the fact that I traded Kelce to Justin earlier or right before the season got some definite
draft cap. You got quite a bit for Kelce. I remember seeing that thinking I should try to trade Ertz, but yeah. For some reason, then, it never carries the same value as Kelce. I mean, clearly Kelsey's better, but I mean, Ertz isn't terribly far behind.
Yeah. And then I traded most of that, but not all of the draft capital back. I know it wasn't the same exact pieces, but to Justin for Hopkins. So, you know, again, I can't pull up the details here, but it, you know, I'd say it's probably pretty close to a Kelce for Nuke trade, I guess, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, no, not bad at all. I was a little jealous you got him. I didn't try too hard for him. Justin, I've tried over the years many times to get him, and clearly Justin has been smart and not done that. I can't remember what Justin had offered me a bunch, because Justin likes Mixon quite a bit, I believe. I actually got Mixon from Justin, so I know we were throwing together some ideas back and forth about including Mixon and some other pieces. I think with like Mixon and Galladay and some other guys for Watson and Hopkins. It just decided against it in the end. I don't know why. I just kept holding on to Mixon, hoping for the best. And well, now he's looking like a stud again. So hopefully that continues. But either way, I thought that was a pretty sweet deal for you. And I mean, hell, worst case scenario, he goes to RFA, you get a first round pick coming up in a what's supposed to be a good draft, not the end of the world, to a guy who hopefully brings you a second place finish and some money. So yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So I know some of the other trades then too, that we were going about, well, one, I was going to talk about my lack of a trade before we dive into some of the other ones, just since it's me and you on here, might as well talk about our teams more than everybody else's. So I tried hard to trade Kenny Galladay. I have the trade offers up in front of me, and looking back, I don't know why I was even offering these. Clearly Evans got hurt. And I mean, I'd be starting David Montgomery over Galladay, which, you know, wouldn't be the worst thing, but would not be good. I mean, Galladay's, you know, was he tied with the league lead in touchdown catches, and yeah, he's playing with a shit quarterback, but in the end, kind of rolling with, gonna have to roll with him here, you know, for the championship, and we'll see what happens. I'll have to make a decision down the road on what to do with him. But yeah, some of these trade offers, like looking back, I don't know why some of the guys in the league here just didn't accept it. I was seriously just trying to get rid of him. The more I keep looking back at this. So I had offered Pat, which Pat was probably sleeping at the time of the like trade deadline talk. So I guess Pat gets some leeway. I offered him Kenny Galladay for a round 3 pick in 2020 and a round 2 pick in 2021. I mean, Kenny Galladay, and I tried targeting teams that didn't have good RFAs. You know, that was my whole thought, was if someone's going to trade for the guy, they're probably going to RFA him and realistically get a first round pick, if not if for some reason he would go for 35 or less, I think someone would be damn happy to keep a stud receiver who would be like 26 at the start of next season with Stafford coming back. I mean, that's a pretty ideal situation. So I was very surprised that, I mean, basically giving away next to nothing. I mean, the piece of value is a second round pick next year, so, or 2 years from now. So that was kind of shocking to me. I had actually, the last offer I made to Kent was a Kenny Galladay and a 2021 second. It was Adams' 2021 second for Pat's 2020 second. So coming up in this draft, which whatever that would be, the fourth pick of the draft this year, whatever that is. And Kent just kept coming back to me saying that he was not trading Pat's pick. And, you know, I mean, you go look at Kent's team, who the heck he's going to RFA. You know, maybe nobody. I don't know what he's going to do. Or maybe he has Waller. Or I think he might have traded for a tight end. Or so totally this.
I traded.
Clearly, this is the mega prep con. The mega prep podcast when I don't have it up in front of me. Yeah, he did have. He does have Darren Waller right now. If he does want to keep him, I guess. But still, I mean, it's like, you know, next to nothing. He's going to, if he does RFA him again, he's going to get more back. So again, if he wanted Waller over Galladay, I guess you know, that's his decision there. Pretty sure Phil never checks his team or emails on stuff as well. I had offered Phil Kenny Galladay for a 2023rd and a 2021 third. Literally giving away Kenny Galladay for nothing because I was going to lose him.
What?
For some reason, I was set in my mind. There's the dogs. They'll keep barking a little bit throughout. I was set in my mind that I think it was coming off a huge game from Gallup, and it was right when the rookie was going to start for Detroit. I was like, I'm not even going to play Kenny Galladay the next couple of weeks, so let me just try to get rid of him, get some, you know, something for him. You know, I didn't want to, you know, I kind of convinced myself I wasn't going to be playing him, you know, because who the heck plays somebody that, you know, leads the league in touchdown catches? And of course, he went out and caught a 75-yard touchdown in the first drive of the game when he was on my bench afterwards. So again, I made the decision not to play him Thanksgiving week, which I, you know, it all worked out where I wasn't playing the next week because of the bye. So it was like, I'm not even going to need him. But thinking back, it's, yeah, you know, shocking that, you know, the trades weren't accepted for some of those. I mean, I tried doing it with Alex too. Again, Alex does have Marvin Jones for another year and so forth. So I could see why he wouldn't want Galladay, but I even said to him, it was like, you know, just freaking RFA him. RFA him and get rid of him. You're basically guaranteed a first round pick. Like I said, if not, heck, trade him after you get him for $35, and you probably get more than a first round pick at that price for a guy. So I was kind of shocked that nobody decided to pull the trigger. And I did offer a couple seconds and Galladay for some firsts in the future, and I understand why those didn't go through. People don't want to get rid of the first, but yeah, I was just kind of shocked that nobody decided to pull the trigger on him. So. Again, very happy now since I have him for the finals, but
I definitely would have pulled the trigger on him for that offer you sent to Phil. I think Phil's problem is he might have forgotten how to log in again.
That's team true. Name, he should change his team name to forgot how to log in for 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
So, but yeah, kind of shocked with that. So, but again, happy to have him, and we'll see what happens after this week, if he stays on my team in the future or not, but, you know, good to go there. So I know some of the other trades then too, we were talking about was Justin kind of going complete sell mode while having a very stellar team. What were your thoughts on that? Again, clearly you liked it because you got Hopkins, but what was your kind of, did you reach out to him or was he reaching out to you there? And
well, he sent an email and he said he was basically a fire sale with come get Nuke and Zeke and everything, or Kelsey. And so that just kind of piqued my interest, and I was interested in, you know, what it would take. So I kind of just sent him an offer, and I think I literally sent him the one offer, and he didn't respond either way. And I sent him a text, and I was like, hey, you know, what do you think of the offer? And then I got an email that he just accepted it.
Nice. Like, all right. New Sound Squad.
Yeah. We'll
take it.
So, you know, I was excited for that, and definitely looking forward to the Nuke and Deshaun Watson combo going forward.
Yeah. Starting next year. I'm trying to look at couple of things on my phone, past score and things. Yeah, but one thing, you know, again, then he went out and traded Zeke. I didn't offer him anything for Zeke. I had thought about it, just kind of looking at his team and seeing what he was looking to do. Is like, I should try to make a run at him. Again, Mixon would have had to been a part of the deal, which I feel like just Mixon owners in general probably have him higher valued than he truly is, just because of, just what he might be able to be some at some point. And even though he's never kind of, reached that status, even though he did lead the AFC in rushing last year, but he just kind of seems like he's a guy who's always has this extra potential that's harder to get away from an owner than some other guys. So I just kind of shied away. And then I saw the deal come through that he had traded him. And, at that point, initially I was kind of pissed. I was like, hell, I should have tried to go after him. I figured since he had another year on his deal, he was going to hold on to Zeke. And, and that's probably part of the reason he gets rid of Hopkins is, he was going to have to RFA him or franchise him or decide to get a couple first round picks and NAB. So, kind of wish I would have done that. I thought the trade for Zeke for Shane or who the heck got him, Shane?
Shane got him.
Yeah. I mean, all for it. Like I was, you got to go for it. I mean, heck, he was right there in the running chance to get a top running back. I mean, he clearly performed since he got him. He's was the running back one since he traded for Zeke. So,
Yeah, it was a good move. I like Zeke. He, he gave up Kerryon, who obviously got injured this year, and then he gave up a first this year, a first next year, and Elshon, who is now on Alex's team, right?
He was. I think everybody. I know. I was sitting there. I'm like, I wonder if I should bid on him and put 2 years on him just to have an extra receiver cheap next year, and then he freaking gets hurt like the second play of the game. And it's like awesome.
I think we all knew it was coming that he was
quickly sent an email out laughing about it. So that was good.
He was going to end up on Alex's team somehow. Former Bear. I know Alex loves him. And he soon thereafter is now on IR, right? I think.
Right away.
One funny thing about the that trade deadline, I was going at the same time I was trying to get Nuke. Martin and I had been talking about the great white hype, of course, Julian Edelman, Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman, and Marty was dead set on me trading him a first, which I was not going to do. And then soon after I made the trade for Nuke, Marty then settled on trading him to Chip for a second, which obviously was more fair value, but I just flat out told Martin I wasn't going to give him that first for it. So I feel good for staying on track with that and not giving in to my man crush for Edelman, especially with his performance.
You would not have been happy this past week. I played against Edelman and he did absolutely nothing. So Chip was texting me throughout the evening once it was kind of decided the matchup, and he was blaming Edelman. He said he didn't pay for Edelman for a couple of points. He paid for he's so consistent every week. He'll get you like 10, 12, 15 points, whatever. Like you can bank it almost. And had nothing.
He's the only weapon on the Patriots right now. So that's, defenses can double team him and just key on him because they know that Brady's going to try to go to him just about every play or every other play.
Yeah. No, for sure. And back to Justin's really fast too. I'm very curious to see what happens. I mean, probably 2-3 years from now, Justin's team's going to be freaking awesome and killing the world with all the picks he got. But I was looking up, he would have been the high scorer last week, like minimum 157 points, which he would have played me if, getting out of the first round of the playoffs, he would have matched up against me and would have beat me. And that was minimum because that was with if he could have played Higby over Gesicki, he would have scored even more points and so forth. But I mean, he would have been rolling into the playoffs with, Dak, what is he, top 5 or 6 quarterback? I think he leads the league in both. Now Jameis might lead the league in passing yards, but Dak's right there. Eckler somehow keeps doing good. I'm not a huge fan, but hell, he can't argue with the production. And then, going in with, going into the playoffs then with Zeke, Michael Thomas, and Hopkins. I mean, it would have been a tough squad to beat. So I was kind of shocked that he decided to get rid of that. Again, even you can go back to the trade for Kelce, he did too. I mean, he was definitely positioned to make a run and decided to rebuild is the way to go, which, again, I curious to see what happens with it. You know, again, he might, you know, for all we know, he'll end up winning 2 or 3 years in a row with some studs he gets to pick up the next 2 years, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, he's still got a solid team. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, he put up 150 points the week after he traded all those guys. So. Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy of who he traded, and he's still, I mean, his receiver core, he still has McLaurin, he's got Michael Thomas and D.D. Westbrook, you know, who is up and down, but I mean, he's getting better, and you know, he's got that draft capital. He's got, you know, if depending on what Higbee does, he could be a tight end one going forward. And you know, his running backs, other than Eckler, leave a little bit to be desired. But he's, you know, he's got to see what happens. But he's in good shape after dealing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Hey, I'm jealous of everyone's draft capital. So, God, I have nothing draft capitalized. So, yeah. So jealous of all of that. That's for sure. So, yeah, we'll keep moving on then. So, unless there's any more trades you wanted to talk about, or.
No, I mean, I think those were the three big ones, Nuke, Zeke, and Edelman at the deadline there.
Okay. So you didn't want to talk about Emmanuel Sanders for a fourth round pick? That didn't.
No.
He's going to be a Super Bowl winner. No, doesn't care.
He's not going to do that.
That's your opinion.
And how'd the Niners do this past Sunday?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. All I can say is it does take a lot to beat the frickin' 49ers. Last kick of overtime, last kick of regulation, 2 seconds left, touchdown on a reversed call. That, I mean, clearly it was a touchdown. I did not see the Hooper play. I was all excited. I was texting Lester. I was like, sweet. Like, at least it took away the touchdown from Troy's team. And, oh well.
Yeah, I was watching it. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but he caught it, was going down to the ground. He had the ball in one hand. It hit the ground. From the slow-mo replay, as he was picking the ball up, he still had it palmed, and the ball wasn't moving until it was like a foot off the ground. And then it kind of like it bobbled and went into his lap, but then he cradled it, and it never hit the ground again. So,
oh, okay.
And, you know, the Fox rules analyst, I can't think of his name right now, the former official, was saying the whole replay, he's like, yeah, it looks like a catch. I don't think this will be reversed. And then sure enough, the NFL, you know, does what the NFL does and screws shit up and said it was not a touchdown, but whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah. Lester had texted me saying that has to be a touchdown. Right. And I was like, I'm in freaking Arizona and the Cardinals were on the same time. Like I don't have the game on TV. So I'm following on Twitter and on my ESPN app and yeah, watching the game like that. So
you got to get the Red Zone app. Through the NFL, yeah. you can watch Red Zone. It's like $30 for the whole season or something like that.
I should do that. I'm cheap. I should just do it and expense it. The people I freaking work with, they do.
You're cheap. You won the league last year, and now you've already won money this year. You've got $30 that you could pay for the Red Zone.
I don't know what you're talking about. I should do that. I should definitely do that. But all right, moving on then. Let's relive some. Magic here at the end of the regular season, you know, just because, again, without weekly podcasts from Ken, we don't get a chance to talk about other things. So, yeah, that Monday night game, holy cow, I'm sitting there, like, freaking out the whole time. Well, actually, I was pissed the entire weekend because Kenny Galladay caught a 75-yard touchdown pass the first drive of the game on Thursday morning for me because that game started, like, 10 o'clock here in Arizona. And basically for 3 or 4 days, I was just in a very shitty mood. I'm sure Kristen really appreciated that. And so yeah, we go to Monday night and I'm sitting here and Kristen was actually into it. I was like trying to tell her and she was probably just faking that she was into it, but she was all like, all right, how are you gonna win, how are you gonna lose? And I was like, it's like I feel like I got an okay shot. It's like my app tells me I'm projected to win and Troy's projected to lose. I'm like, Adam had Cousins and Cook, and you had TJ Lockett. And I'm sitting there watching the whole game. And, of course, Cook goes down and scores right away. And I was like, oh, shit. All right. It's all about Lockett sucking all game now. And then as soon as Cook got hurt, I was ecstatic. I mean, I felt bad because it sucks because Cook is freaking unbelievable. And it's like, why does this dude have to get hurt all the time? And as soon as he went down, that was about the time my wife got home. And I opened a beer. I'm like, I don't want to have a beer yet. Like, I shouldn't do it. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And then, like, 3 minutes later, Cousin throws a 58-yard touchdown pass to Treadwell. And I'm like, that was not good. Like, now there's a little bit of a chance that Adam's going to beat me. And Adam ended up beating me by like 0.7 points or something like that, which luckily did not matter because your boy decided to go out and put up a stinker, even though that was like his third straight stinker in a row. He did come through for you pretty big last week, which hopefully you will show some remorse when you talk about how terribly upset you were with him.
Yeah, he definitely redeemed himself this past week, obviously when it mattered in the playoffs. But I was utterly just shocked watching the game where he just completely and utterly let me down. I have no other way to describe. I was almost in tears because watching it, I thought, you know, hey, all right, all it's going to take is one long pass or just a couple short ones. But you know, it came out to his credit that he was banged up. He had that serious shin injury. They didn't really say, I don't think, what it was, or calf or something, but he ended up being in the hospital for it. And he's definitely been banged up the last few weeks. But he redeemed himself. I was definitely ready. If the trade deadline wouldn't have passed, I probably was looking at trading him for a bag of peanuts.
Like Kenny Galladay offers that I was trying to do?
Yeah, pretty much. He was on my naughty list. And lucky to say, he had a chance to redeem himself this week or this past week. And I'm giving him the nod this week. So if he can bring me home the championship, he will forever be a part of my team.
Yeah, until you trade him in like 2 months. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, when you play the Cardinals, Patrick Peterson healthy? I don't even freaking know. Hopefully, he shuts him down.
All I know is the Cardinals are giving up like some of the most crazy amounts of fantasy points to all opposing receivers. And
dude, I've watched the Seahawks play a bunch. They can literally just run the ball every play and never have to throw the football. Every time Carson runs the ball, he gets like 7 yards, I feel like. I mean, I guess Penny's hurt now, so they have to maybe throw it a little more. But, I mean, it's ridiculous how easy it is for them to run the football. It's just crazy. As long as that doesn't happen week 17 when the Niners go in there to get the one seed.
But right.
We'll see. So, and then I know you also wanted to talk about your just dominance against Marty this season, just how you absolutely destroyed him, what, 3 times?
Yes, that is accurate. I was looking just for shits and giggles the other night at just kind of like historic records of, you know, opponents and different guys in the league and who, excuse me, who I've done well against. And it brought me back to Marty and kind of the shit talking he was doing to me. And he wanted to, after me and Lester made that bet, which I will talk about soon enough. P.S. Lester sucks. But after Lester and I made that deal, Marty wanted to bet me that he would make the playoffs. And I wisely said, no, I would not bet him that because look what happened. He ended up making the playoffs because so many people were tanking and Marty didn't have his own first round pick because I had
it. Smart.
Because you're exactly. Smart. Very good point. Marty and I then said to Marty, hey, I'm not going to bet you that, but I will bet you that I will have a better team. I'll do better. And look what happened. I ended up beating Marty 3 times. It's hard enough to beat people once, twice, but I beat Marty 3 times in 1 season. And I don't think I will ever let that be forgotten. But I'm very happy about that. Marty, you know, he's basically Dairy Queen soft serve for not taking that bet. Preseason, but he knew it was coming. I think he did, and I'm 3-0 versus Marty. What can I say?
Go! I remember the 1 week you guys played. You both scored the highest 2 point. You had the highest 2 point totals in the league.
Yeah, that was a bad beat for Marty.
That was rough. That had to be the worst beat of the entire season. You scored like 170 points and freaking lost. Yeah, yes. That is brutal. Well, I was happy you beat him because that's my first draft pick coming up next year is his second rounder. So I was pretty excited that you were able to beat him, because, you know, that whatever that is, the 18th pick of the draft, watch out. That's when I get to actually do something. So that'll be exciting. But yeah, speaking of that, we can go on to the championship matchup. I know everyone else in the league is dying to hear what me and you have to say about our matchup against each other. And you definitely just brought up how you were looking at old records. And I hope you did not look at the overall records that me and you have against each other, because not good. Not good.
I actually did look at that. I'm pulling it up right now, trying to, at least as we speak. It just absolutely sucks to try to find anything on this website. But I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you have never beaten me.
I've never beaten you. I played you once every year. I've never been lucky enough to play you twice, or you haven't been lucky enough to play me twice the way it's gone. And I am 0-5. So, not good. And not this year, but each of the last 2 years, you have been my first loss. Well, 1 year I was like 8-0 to start the year, 7-0, 8-0. And then you took me down. And then that was when I was pissed. You traded for AB the week I was playing you. AB, you didn't even do that much that game, but I was just like, oh, Fred, this is not going to work out well. And then, yeah, last year I remember, like, me and everyone kept saying me and Lester's team were kind of above the rest, and I had just beat Lester in like the third or fourth week, and I played you the next week and you beat me again. So I was like pumped for 1 week, and then down I went. And this year when I played you, I think I scored like 70 points. It was beyond terrible. I remember sitting there, when I was living in Minnesota, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I was going to play Kyler Murray because Kyler Murray was hot. He had done well, and he was playing in New York. I'm like, oh, it's supposed to get a rain in New York. I'm like, I should probably play Jared Goff instead of Kyler Murray. And I was like, screw it, I'll just stick with Murray. And Chase Edmonds scored 3 rushing touchdowns, and freaking Goff scored like 30-some points. I mean, I would have lost anyways, but 70 points or whatever it was just embarrassing. I think you only scored like 100, but you knew my team was going to shit the bed against you. And I was like, yep. Why use up all those points when, you could save those for future weeks. So, yeah, sucked.
Yep, you were exactly right. 1-0 each year, 5-0 in the history of this league against you.
Well, I'm thinking we might have, that's all regular season victories. We've never faced each other in the playoffs. When my team does come to play, at least the last 2 years in the playoffs, not so much the one other playoff appearance I made the first 3 years when my team was god awful. So yeah, we're a little we are a little intimidated. You did mention that on the in the email chain when I was saying, come on Shane, I was afraid. I am not going to lie about it. I mean, it had more to do with you scoring more points than Shane throughout the season and so forth, but it was also a little intimidation of my team just knowing who we're going up against. So we'll see how it all plays out. Mm-hmm. One thing I did want to bring up here on that too is I was checking back week by week scores, me versus you. So through 10 weeks, because I average like 18 more points a week than you, which I think my team, you know, that's like an extra player a week, basically. It's like that's like a Hopkins a week. You can just like remove from my team and, you know, then we're even kind of.
You trying to like pat yourself on the back here, or what is this?
Yeah. We are okay, on video. So yeah. No, I was just saying, I was looking, and I was like, I wonder how we are against it. First 10 weeks of the year, you scored more than me five times. So we're 5-5, basically, we'd play every week. But the last 5 weeks, my team has scored more than you each time. So my team, we're coming in with a lot of momentum, I think, despite playing a bunch of shitty guys. But
I will say a lot of that had to do with Tyler Lockett being a jagbag for a while. And my kicking situation, basically the Lions went to complete shit. So as you can see, as of 40 minutes ago, I picked up a new kicker for our matchup.
Oh, shit. I did not see. Who'd you pick up?
So I picked up Jason Myers of the Seahawks. So I'm hoping for big things for him against Arizona. But yeah, I was basically going to get rid of all things Detroit because they suck.
And they got a tough match. I think they play against Denver or something. So that's gonna be a tough match.
I gotta play in Denver. Choice, but... So I'm hoping for a gigantic snowstorm. I know it's been crazy over there lately, but hopefully it.
I hope he freaking. Well, actually, I hope he makes no field goals and they just throw the ball deep to Galladay all day. But if he does make field goals, I hope he gets like 350 some yards just to piss you off.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna happen.
I mean, if I were you, I think playing the kicker against Arizona in Arizona, that's probably a good decision. I probably should have looked ahead. I have like two spots on my team. I could have filled some blocker guys on you. I could have grabbed Myers myself, but oh well. I was actually very close to doing exactly what Kent did. I was going to drop. I mean, Justin Tucker is the last original player who's on my team still. I literally love Justin Tucker more than anything. Like, he's just he's like the best kicker ever. But a team never kicks field goals anymore. They use all their damn analytics, and I don't know if they base it off of like the history of the NFL or whatever, but it's like they don't even line up for like 50-yard field goals anymore. They just go for it because their offense can do whatever the hell they want. And Robbie Gould and sign him to a 2-year contract. And freaking Kent did it. Like, I don't know if I truly would have done it, but like, I was very close. It was like in my mind to potentially do that. I think I would have waited till this week to make that final decision. And that sucked. It's like,
well, they're smart. They play with like 2 or 3 tight ends at a time and they just dominate people.
Yeah, they're another team. They could just run every single play. They literally never have to throw it. Despite the 30-some touchdown passes that Lamar has, they seriously never have to.
Yeah, well, let's hope that Mark Ingram continues to just ground and pound and score 3 touchdowns this.
Yes, yeah, I hope not. So, yeah, back to our matchup then, too. I was looking – so that first game, Saturday at – well, it's like 11 o'clock my time when they're going to be playing is, I mean, by far the biggest game for our matchup. Your quarterback and 2 receivers and my quarterback and, well, Breshad Perriman, who apparently now is one of my better receivers for the end of this season. So, gonna play a large role in what takes out there, you know, what actually happens the rest of the weekend. So,
I'm gonna be a huge Texans fan, and there will be a lot of implications for how much booze I consume throughout the weekend, whether in celebration or in misery.
It'll be the same amount of booze. It'll just be of why the booze goes in.
Yeah, that's true.
Gotcha. Good point. Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, I'm hoping I didn't start Perriman last week, but hopefully he does another stellar game. We'll see. They don't have anyone. I think their next 3 receivers are all hurt with Evans, Godwin, and whatever that rookie, Scotty Miller or whatever is. So who knows? I know they're going to throw the ball, but it's going to be pretty tough with a bunch of crap. But there's no way I'm not playing Jameis because, I mean, Jameis is the man. I love Jameis. So So we'll roll with that. But then, yeah, looking at some tough decisions, I think that's one of your decisions made kind of easy today. They said Jacobs is out for this week.
Yeah, they came out.
But you would replaced him with Mac. So I know you said you were playing Fuller, but like looking at your tough decision, it was kind of down to Fuller, Anthony Miller, or the man, Debo. And you said you're sticking with Fuller in that juicy matchup, huh?
I'm just hoping for a shootout. I think – I don't know. Obviously, everybody, or you know, like we said, Evans and Godwin are banged up and not playing. So, but I mean, the Bucks just continue to want to ride Winston. So, you know, if things go like they have been for the Bucks the last few weeks, I mean, it's going to be a high-scoring game, a lot of passes being thrown. So, you know, I'm just hoping that for one of those like 40-point outbursts from Will Fuller. You know, I just have to start him. I've loved the guy for a long time. Obviously, he's been banged up and hurt every year for multiple games, but I'm going with him. I'm going with the trifecta with him and Nuke. And, you know, I do like Anthony Miller. He's been coming around. He's been solid, putting up 10-plus points a game the last, I think, 4 weeks. But I just – 10-plus points a game. He had 22 last week. I know they're going to be playing the Chiefs, so they're probably going to be behind. They're going to be throwing, you know, freaking how many balls did Trubisky throw this? It felt like he threw like 50 passes this last week, but who knows? That's another story, but I don't know.
I'm with you. Tough to trust a Trubisky receiver unless it's Allen Robinson in a championship matchup. I mean, clearly understand that. I mean, I do think Carlos Hyde's the one who's going to carry that offense, though. on Saturday for the Texans. He will be on my bench, but I really hope he puts up like 250 rushing yards.
Yeah. But I'm just, I got to go with Fuller. So your guy, Debo, and Anthony Miller and Golden Tate, for that matter, they're going to be on my bench. They're, you know, they're all capable of scoring 10 to 20 points. But I don't know. I just got a feeling about Will Fuller going with him. If we could take a hiatus and just, since I mentioned Debo, if we could talk about, if we could talk about the bet that has.
I thought we were going to talk about the Super Bowl around the Niners we're going to go on, but that's cool.
No, we're going to talk about the bet that Lester and I made of Debo Samuel versus Dante Pettis, who is not even on Lester's team anymore. So let's, you know, we'll take that into consideration. But I am looking forward to the draft this coming year, when Lester will be presenting me with every single beer on a knee, wearing a shirt that I will be making for him. And he will have to present that beer every time I need one and tell me how much better of a fantasy football player I am than him.
Nice. Well, yeah, Debo sucked at the start of the year too. I guess a lot of rookie receivers take some time, but he's bounced back. He's been great since basically since I got Sanders. And then once Kittle's healthy, I mean, Debo's awesome. I'm a big fan. Once he gets the ball in his hands, man, that dude's a beast. He's strong and he's good. Hopefully he'll be a staple of the Niners offense for a handful of years. So good work on your end there. Stop zooming the camera in at your face because it's kind of freaking me out. And what kind of shirt design have you thought of? Or is it you kind of wait until the off season to dive into that?
I've got a few ideas, but those will not be revealed. That's going to be for everyone to witness the day of the draft.
Nice. Nice. Very good. Hopefully Lester's team's a lot better by then. We definitely do have on the agenda talk about how Lester's team is trash. So
his team is hot garbage.
Yeah. Kind of the worst. So, shouldn't have made all those trades with Marty. I think that's the downfall right there.
Yeah. He might want to think about trading or changing his team name because, and, oh God, his team picture too is like Juju massaging. Like, who is it? Le'Veon Bell. That's a
dude. Right? Your picture is the freaking Baker Mayfield logo still. Like, who are you talking about? Someone else changing their picture? Like, you still have the Baker logo.
Yeah, I will have to change that.
Even if he was on your team, it would be like terrible that was your logo. But he's not even on your team anymore.
So. Yeah, but Juju's like, he looks like he's like. Like scissoring Le'Veon Bell in this picture. It's very strange.
I like my picture personally of Christian McCaffrey doing all sorts of weird things.
Oh, well, any picture of Christian McCaffrey would be A-okay in my book. But So I will not be revealing what will be on the t-shirt. And let's just say it will be glorious.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to that, mainly just to see the humiliation of him having to, like, get on a knee and give you a beer and whatever the hell he has to do. It's going to be interesting, but drafts are always fun, and that'll add a little intrigue to it, so that'll be nice. But, yeah, then going to my team, too, when it comes to the decisions to make, you know, again, both of our teams clearly pretty solid where we don't have a ton of work to do with it. For me, it was choosing two between David Montgomery, Michael Gallup, and Rashad Perriman. And earlier in the year, I was getting pretty excited for David Montgomery. He had a couple games in a row where he was looking pretty solid. And even when he wasn't scoring, he was, you know, putting up 70, 80 yards rushing, which, you know, isn't great, but at least he was, you know, the team was committed to him and so forth. But I just, even against the Chiefs where the Bears probably need to run the football to win the game. And, you know, just game script wise could fall out of a hand fast if the Chiefs jump on top and just can't do it. I want to. That was half the reason I made that trade with Kent in the offseason. I traded 111 and his 2020 first. So ended up being 102 for this coming year for the 102 last year. Was, you know, knew it would be long term, might not be good, but idea was I'm in a 1 or 2 year window here where I can have a chance to win. I'm going to draft a guy that's going to help me. And now I'm not even playing the guy in the finals, but yeah, I'm going to go with with Perriman, who is now the de facto number one for Jameis. So that could just be a disaster waiting to happen if both those guys suck. And then I'm going to stick with Gallup. I mean, he only put up one catch for 6 yards last week or whatever he did, but we'll see what happens against the Eagles. It should be more of a shootout where hopefully they'll have to get the passing game more involved. And well, everybody does good against the Eagles receiver wise. So, going with the two receivers over Montgomery, a little scared of that because I feel like, you know, again, it's hard to give up guaranteed touches, which Montgomery will get, but we'll roll the dice and see what happens, I suppose. So pretty much made up my mind on that. Not going to be trading. Really thought Larry Fitzgerald was going to provide some kind of use to my team this year, but that has not happened either. So he's got to remain on the bench. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what, you know, comes out of it all. And, you know, we'll kind of on Monday night when Davante Adams is the only one playing amongst our teams, we'll see if that matters and if you'll have to suffer through another Monday. I mean, it's been 3 straight weeks, I think, for you, right?
It's been brutal. I had to stop watching at halftime of the Saints game because, I mean, and I love Drew Brees and, you know, to see him break the record would have been, you know, would have been cool, but I just was like, oh my God, you know, like Dalvin Cook wasn't scoring anything for, I want to say like the whole first quarter. And then he had like 3 grabs in a row within a matter of a few minutes in the second quarter. And I was like, oh God, this isn't good. So I was like, I'm just going to stop watching. So Soph and I were watching something on the DVR. And then,
and you were checking on your phone constantly. I did that all the time. Shut your mouth.
I was checking on my phone occasionally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as soon as we were done, there was like 3 minutes left. And I was like, man, he hasn't done anything this second half. So I don't know if anything came out that he was banged up or if they just ended up resting him because they were so.
I mean, I think because he was coming off the concussion when he dominated the Niners for a quarter. And then, yeah, I mean, they were up by so much. It was, yeah, once that last touchdown pass didn't go to him, it was kind of, I thought the whole fourth quarter you were in the clear. Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he saw the field the rest of the game. So,
but, yeah.
At halftime, I thought you were going to end up suffering a late loss there, but held on. So, yeah, it's always nice when the 1 and 2 see you to play each other in the finals. So, especially my chance to beat you for the first time ever. We were really looking forward to it. So, yeah, well, any prediction, any score you got? You think you're kind of like a target your team's going for, or just 0.1 points of more than me?
No, I just, you know, I don't have any specific number in my mind. I just, you know, I'm sending positive vibes to my whole roster, especially the Texans. But, you know, I just told them, hey, you guys, we're playing Mike's team. Historically, you guys have just, you know, dominated.
Just show up and you're going to win.
Show up and do what you do and it's going to be a victory.
Nice. We'll see how it goes. That's, I'm happy there's no Thursday game this week because I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I'm going to be hiking Camelback Mountain in the Phoenix area on Saturday. Like we're going to probably start hiking at like 10 or 11 and it's like a 2-hour hike. So I'm not going to have reception or anything. So I'm basically going to get back to my car and the game will already be at halftime or more. And I'm going to have to check that and hopefully see like 21-3 Buccaneers or something like that.
I'm going to be glued to the TV. And this is like, yeah, I agree. The Thursday night game, you know, if this would have been the Thursday night game, that would have been a hell of a Thursday night game to be able to watch, but we got 3 games on Saturday, and then
we both have 3 guys on Saturday. Or you have 4 guys on Saturday, don't you? You got Cup too against the.
Oh, I was saying 3 games on Saturday.
Yeah,
excited about, but
yeah, yeah, we've got 4 of your 10 guys playing on Saturday. So
yeah, I've got obviously the 3 Texans, and then I got Cooper Kupp, who plays at your Niners on Saturday night.
Yeah, probably be shut down, but. Got to remain confident. Just one bad game. The Niners went into those 2 home games knowing all they had to do was win one, and that's all that really mattered. So hopefully they can pull it out. But yeah, Sam, I'm a little nervous. A couple of my guys could put up some low point totals, but hopefully we'll both of our running backs, I feel like we have like one guy in a bad position, like as a team, and the rest of our team, they're like set up to like pretty easy matchups. Like, and you have Cup, who's in a tough matchup. And I feel like Galladay for me is in a pretty tough matchup in Denver with a shit quarterback. But everyone else, I feel like our guys are, you know, pretty easy on the schedule with who we're playing against. So, you know, we could end up seeing a high scoring total. So, I mean, that's how it should be in the finals. So.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I was looking at, you know, your team's opponents and everything. And I think it'll be fairly high scoring.
Yeah.
Very high scoring.
Hope so. I'd rather lose in a high scoring game than not. I feel like it's, yeah. I mean, well, actually, I don't really give a shit. As long as I win, I'll be happy. Who am I kidding? All right. Well, that's enough of our talk there. I know we, whatever. These will be long. This is longer than Kent's podcast. You still got a few minutes?
Yeah, we're going on almost an hour here.
I know it's only 9 o'clock here though, so it's early. And Kristen's still at work. She won't be home for another couple of, like another hour, half hour. So I got time to kill. But I just wanted to talk about a couple things for an outlook to 2020. Main thing I wanted to talk about was freaking Pat's young receivers. Damn. So jealous, man. So jealous. The young receivers he has, I mean, you know, assuming one of those three might vault themselves into like top five or six over the next year or two. I mean, you've got Cortland Sutton, DJ Moore, and AJ Brown, who's just been lights out this year. I think I'm more jealous just because I could have drafted Sutton and I could have drafted AJ Brown. And instead, I have Paris Campbell and Michael Gallup on my roster, which we don't have to go too deep into that. But I was very pumped that Pat did not go complete sell mode, which he said he was trying to do. He said he was looking at trading Sutton, looking at trading Kamara. I actually tried pretty hard to trade for both of them with some packages of what I had with more player-based than draft pick-based because that's all I have. But I was pleased to see he did not make any trades because I think he's set up to be pretty solid for a while with a young core, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Cortland Sutton. I don't necessarily know what's going to happen with that quarterback situation. So that's kind of a question mark, but obviously Courtney,
he's been good with nothing.
So. He's been good all this year. I mean, he's made some serious plays. DJ Moore is getting better and better each year. AJ Brown fucked me over in another league. And what he had like a 40-point outburst, three touchdowns or whatever the hell it was.
Like a 90-yard touchdown the other, or like either last week or the week before. So
yeah, in another league I had that I was like by far the best team. He just he took it to me. I'm not necessarily sold on Tennessee going forward. So he's got some questionable, you know, quarterback situations for those receivers. But all three of those, I mean, the talent of those guys have shown that they can produce and dominate with the quarterbacks that they've been, you know,
I feel like that's the scary part. They might be at like their floor right now just because of, they're not playing with a good quarterback. So
I don't like, and that's the crazy thing. All three of them, you know, AJ, DJ, and Cortland have zero quarterback talent throwing for them now, and they're freaking awesome. So that is, you're spot on with that. He's got Kamara. Obviously, David Johnson is not what used to be, and I don't even know if he's going to be on Arizona next year.
I think he's got at least like one more year with his contract, but we'll like where like they would almost like kill them to cut him, kind of a deal. But we'll see.
He's got Hunter Henry, who just needs to stay healthy, and he'll be a tight end, you know, a top five tight end. So I mean, Pat's in good position going forward, without a doubt.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll probably be bugging him with unrealistic trade requests as soon as the Super Bowl's over and I can start doing that. But no need to dive too much into the teams with all the first-round picks. We kind of talked about that earlier. But I did want to talk just the end here, last 5 minutes or so, with kind of an outlook to the 2020 draft day with some franchise tags and RFAs, just get more teams we can talk about a little bit. And the more I was looking, I don't think there's going to – there's really not a lot of like big decisions that really need to be made. A couple teams, my team, again, I'll have to choose. I mean, I'm unless something crazy injury-wise happens, I'll have to franchise Davante Adams, and then I'll have to RFA either Galladay or Evans, so that'll put one good receiver into the unrestricted free agency pool. There's not a ton of other things. I looked at you. You have, from what I saw, at least, it looked like, you know, you have Ingram, Hopkins, and Hooper on the last year are their deals. Somewhat of a decision, whatever route you decide to go, and so forth. But the biggest team I was the most interested in was Chip's. I don't know if you had a chance to look at Chip's team again, because he kind of has two receivers and two running backs that are on the last year of their contract that would probably be desirable guys they have on their team. Are you taking a look at what he has there?
Yeah, I just pulled it up. So obviously, on the last year of the deals, he's got Chris Carson, Aaron Jones for the running backs, and then he's got Edelman, who he just traded for, and Thielen.
Yeah, so I feel like he'll actually have like a decision to make, whereas most of the teams I was looking at, it's almost not too much. But I'm curious to see what takes place. I think he'd do keep Aaron Jones, I assume. Again, especially after just trading for him as well, like he wouldn't have done that if it was for a couple of weeks probably. From there, I mean, not that Thielen and Edelman are, stud top five or six guys, but they're wide receiver, like right at the end of the wide receiver one, start of wide receiver twos if they're, if Edelman or if Thielen's healthy and stuff. So, I mean, I'm curious what, if he's going to try to choose one of those guys or if he's, going to go with both running backs. I'm curious to see what takes place.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, it depends on which running back he wants to keep. But, I would think he would probably – yeah, I don't even know, because that's a tough choice. I mean, those are four guys. I mean, if it's a choice between Edelman and Thielen, I think maybe if you're talking franchise tag, you would probably franchise.
Franchising a receiver is so hard. It's like $65 to franchise a receiver. So yeah. I feel like a franchise almost would have to be on the running back and then do whatever with receiver. But we'll see. I don't know. My initial gut reaction is he's going to go to try to keep both running backs, but don't know for sure. We'll see. I mean, yeah. He does have Tyreek Hill and Tyler Boyd where, that's not the worst starting, 1-2 receiver if he's, looking at unrestricted free agency that has both of his, those other receivers he has now. Galladay will be in there, some other guys, Galladay or Evans, whatever, some other guys. So that's what I think he'll end up doing, but a lot can change. I mean, we still have the regular season and the playoffs, injuries, other things. I mean, who the hell knows? But at least he has some intrigue to him. So I was excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're talking about RFA him, obviously, if you were to RFA Thielen, I mean, he would definitely, I think, go for more than Edelman because obviously the age factor there alone. But I don't know. I mean, looking at his receiving core, he's got obviously not quite the young youth upside that Pat does, but he's got Marquise Brown, he's got Sterling Shepard and Tyreek Hill. And then depending on who he decides to keep between Edelman or RFA or whatever, between Edelman and Thielen, I mean, that's a damn solid receiving core right there too.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I'm curious to see what happens there. So that was the main one. So I'll be interested to, handful of months that go by here. I wish we could make the decision. Oh, Kristen's home. So it's going to be madness with the dogs, but I didn't have anything else to talk about. Did you?
No, just I'm looking forward to just hopping the floor with you. Going 6-0.
All right. Troy says hi, Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
He says hi. And the dogs say hi too, apparently. All right, well, I got to run. Hopefully I can actually post this. I have no idea. I'll try tomorrow. I may have messed it all up anyways. We'll see. We'll give it a go.
All right, buddy.
Hope your team does absolutely terrible, by the way.
You're going down.
All right. Later.